ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 23 एंटाइटल्ड द डेमिगॉड्स रीगेन द हेवनली प्लैनेट्स टेक्स्ट 9 एंड टेक्स्ट 10। श्री भगवान उवाच वत्स प्रह्राद भद्रं ते प्रयाहि सुतलालयम् मोदमानः स्वपौत्रेन ज्ञातीनां सुखम् आवह। श्री ट्रांसलेशन। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड सेड, माय डियर सन प्रह्लाद, ऑल गुड फॉर्च्यून अनटू यू। For the time being, please go to the place known as Sutala and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends. There is no purport, so I'll read text 10. Nityam drishtasi mam tatra gadapanim avasthitam madad darshan mahalada dvasta karma nibandhana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Prahlad Maharaj, "You shall be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club and lotus in my hand. Because of your transcendental bliss due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities." Purport. Karma bandha, the bondage of fruitive activities, entails the repetition of birth and death. One performs fruitive activities in such a way that he creates another body for his next life. As long as one is attached to fruitive activities, he must accept another material body. This repeated acceptance of material bodies is called samsara bandhana. To stop this, a devotee is advised to see the Supreme Lord constantly. The Kanishta Adhikari or neophyte devotee is therefore advised to visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. Thus, the neophyte devotee can be freed from bondage of fruitive activities. Blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. I'll attempt to speak something. So it says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Prahlad Maharaj, "You shall be able to see me there in my usual feature with conch shell, disc, club and lotus in my hand. Because of your transcendental bliss due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities." So Lord is assuring Prahlad Maharaj. So this assurance is very important in bhakti. I was just coming here to the temple hall and there was one card in my locker, greeting card, somebody gifted someone. I picked up from his office and then I opened it and saw what is there written inside. It is somebody's, I don't know, birthday card or whatever. This kind of forgiveness letter is there. And I was reading and I was wondering what kind of language we use after we become devotees. Before becoming devotees, we never actually used all this terminology. The purpose of, I'll not read the name for whom is it addressed and who has addressed it, but the purpose of this is to express my sincere gratitude towards you and devotees like His Grace so and so Prabhu, for very mercifully allowing a fallen soul. So how many of us use this terminology, a fallen soul, before becoming a devotee? Oh, Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Pai Pyar. We never went to schools and colleges saying in the admission counter, you know, Mosama Patita Madam Na Pai Pyar. So, it's your paradigm shift, you know. I'm a fallen soul. And then he's telling, be merciful on me. And then he says, the second reason is to beg forgiveness for my insincerity and carelessness for the services, etc., etc. Something is written. And then he says, I desperately need your blessings and prayers so that I can continue devotional service till my last breath in the mood of humble servant of servant of servant. So this is kind of random. I mean, because why I was thinking about this, because I wrote somebody a mail, you know. And in my email, there's an automatic system. You press one button and the whole thing comes up, you know. Please accept my humble obeisances, all gurus to Prabhupada, your servant, so and so and so and so and so. So I was thinking now how to type, you know, I was very poor in typing, so typing Y and searching for O and U and this and that is so much time. So I just press this button and automatically it comes. Your servant, Gaurang Priyadas, this. So I wrote a letter to someone who is not a devotee and I forget what I am signing as. So above I wrote, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories, you know. And below I said, your servant. So everything came up. And this person was shocked. What kind of language you are using, you know? Your servant? You seem like some schizophrenic patient or something. So this conception or paradigm shift in Krishna consciousness, what kind of language we start using and how we start considering ourselves as fallen and most fallen and fallen of the fallen and the most insignificant. Actually, schizophrenic patients talk like that. You know, because recently I met one person. He's having all kind of hallucinatory thoughts, you know. So this is also, they go into deep, deep depression. Oh, I'm most insignificant. Nobody takes care of me. I'm fallen, this and that. Another thing, you know, we have seen in devotee circle. It never happened previously. I remember when I went to Vrindavan Dham, first time, and a mother also came there. And I was going everywhere bare feet. And my mother looked at me, so dirty. Who taught you this culture? We never taught you walking bare feet on the front road without any slippers and walking with the same feet inside the room. So dirty, you know. She was really disgusted. So I was thinking, yes, we were always disgusted by looking at dirty feet. But now there's a paradigm shift. As soon as we see somebody's feet exposed without dhoti, the desire comes, let me go and touch the feet, you know. Isn't it? Devotees have that obsession, touch the feet, take the dust. And in medical terminology, there is something called as obsessive compulsive disorder. When you see something, they have disorder, you know, you go to wash hands. Again and again, they want to wash hands. They feel it's dirty. So again and again, you want to touch the feet, you know, dirty feet. You see the feet, you touch the feet. Obsession. It's kind of crazy attitudes from a mundane point of view. A kind of complete paradigm shift. So it says that previously we have been used to performing action in a certain way. And these actions are never thought of. Apparently these kind of actions are rejected in the society. And those actions which are very much appreciated, we reject those actions now. And we pick up some other kind of actions. So this whole realm of fruitive work and the realm of devotional service are absolutely different. Our aspirations are different. Our desires are different. Our ways of functioning are different. And it sounds crazy to the outside world. But what do we see? If one performs fruitive activity in the ordinary style, what people do, he creates another body again and again. And our whole aspiration is how to get out of this body. How to get out of this body. Like a few days back, I was telling the story of three young kids I met. And they were telling, 11 years, 8 years, 6 years, holding my dhoti, coming to me, devotee children, and telling, Prabhu, this is a stupid world. How can we get out of it? And I was so touched. I said, I never took hold of somebody's dhoti and asked, Prabhu, this is a stupid world. I want to get out of this. And they are saying that we have learned this, that this is a stupid world and I want to get out of this. So that becomes a desperation of a devotee that he wants to get out of this. And somehow encourage more and more souls to get out of this. recently we were in Malaysia, and we went to one place. We were going on the road. We were driving in a car, and this Prabhu who was driving us, he was showing us. He said, "You see this place? This is a huge, huge land, you know. What do you call where you bury the dead bodies? Cemetery or, right? Crematorium. They bury, right? So the huge land was there. So many were there. So many. So he was telling how this Buddhist people, Chinese people, that sect which is staying there. He said they are so attached to the bodily conception. He was explaining different details and how they keep the body for a long, long time at house. Very attached. Huh? And when they bury the body, they bury with all the ingredients, all the supplies, you know, for the body. All the bodily supplies. So there is so much in the bodily conception that as if another life is starting inside the ground now. So very difficult to make these people devotees. Very difficult. Another point we told them, you know, I was asking them that most of these Western temples, of course I cannot comment because we are not staying in a Western country, we are staying in India. And most of these Western countries, if you go to these temples, people who are coming to the temple are nothing but Indian congregation who has been settled in the West. Like with this temple we went, oh, all Tamils are there, right? So then I was wondering, okay, they have like 50% Muslim population. I said, okay, we don't touch that. But then another 40% are Chinese and 10% are Tamils. So only Tamils are coming. I was wondering how difficult to get these people. I said, why you don't preach to Chinese? And it's so difficult to convince them. They are pakka meat eaters. The whole conception to live based on vegetarian diet, they feel they will die. How will they survive if they live on vegetarian diet? That conception doesn't exist. Then I saw their menu. If they went to some public program and the kind of menu they serve, you know. So we also love menu. We have, you know, what are the favorites? We have youth festival. Maybe we would have bhel puri, pani puri or some pizza or some, you know, something attractive which attracts the youth. Something masaledar, something, you know. So what is their attraction, you know? Everybody used to eating meat. So to attract them, you have to add something which looks like meat. So they have something called as, we have heard of this, gluten, you know, gluten. It looks like exactly like meat. It feels like meat. They were telling the taste, the consistency, the look, everything is like meat. And then they had some kind of spice, which was a tubular thing, and it was inside. I said, what is this? It looks like a bone. He said, that's why it is called mock meat. You know, it looks like a bone and it looks like a, you know, flesh. And they are, that is how they serve. And people feel very nice. They feel, okay, they are eating meat. And actually, some of them do not even realize that this is not meat. It exactly looks like that. So difficult to preach to these people. Very difficult. So the whole conception is to train these people who are absorbed in fruitive activities and bring them inside the temple. It's a big, big challenge. One Chinese devotee, one day he brought a Chinese taxi driver. And as soon as he brought this Chinese taxi driver, he was introducing to me, you know, this is a Chinese taxi driver. And this taxi driver was not able to speak English at all. He was speaking his Chinese language. And I'm telling this fellow that I wish I can learn Chinese. Yeah, I mean, I can speak to him. I wish I can understand what he's saying. He said, forget about Chinese. Understand the ecstasy. One Chinese fellow has come to the temple. And this devotee was dancing everywhere. I have brought one Chinese fellow to the temple. And since morning Mangalarti till night and till next day and the next day, whenever he would see me, Prabhu, I brought one Chinese fellow in the temple. So all these days I didn't understand what is the gravity. But that day by seeing those 3 days is ecstasy that he brought a Chinese taxi driver into the temple. And he had darshan of the Lord. And he took Mahaprasad of the Lord. This devotee was in ecstasy. And he's telling me, Prabhu, whenever he comes, I will not be here. I mean, that devotee would not be here. He was from some other temple. He said, whenever this, you make sure, whenever he comes, you feed him a lot of Mahaprasad. No need to learn Chinese language. Just feed him Mahaprasad. Somehow give him some attraction to the lotus feet of the Lord. He said, all these Chinese people are there suffering. Who will bring them? So difficult. One person has come here and taken darshan of the Lord. So he says, as long as one is attached to fruitive activities, he must accept another body. This repeated acceptance is called samsara bandhan. So that nice bhajan says, jivadaya krishna naam sarvadharma. Like that, right? Sarvadharma sar, isn't it? Jivadaya krishna naam. This is the essence. Krishnanam and Jivadaya, giving it to others. Very important. Preaching. To stop this, a devotee is advised to see the Supreme Lord constantly. The Kanishtha Adhikari is therefore advised to visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. Thus, the neophyte devotee can be freed from bondage of fruitive activities. So the whole conception is to bring people to the lotus feet and give them an experience, a positive experience. How to fan their spark and make them appreciate Krishna, Krishna's activities, Krishna's mission, develop some love for that. So much effort is being done to bring people. And the materialistic people, they are doing all the effort to cut away these efforts, to somehow break our efforts, challenging us. So much effort goes to make a person devotee. It's so difficult this. Nityanand Prabhu is preaching. Akarodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai Abhimana Shunya Nitai Nagare Badai. Jare Dekhe Tare Kahe Dante Trinadhari. Dante Trinadhari. With great humility he is going and begging. Amare Kiniya Loho Bolo Gaurahari. Amare. So these preachers who are going, they are begging. One by one they are picking up. One person and bringing to the lotus feet. Bringing to the lotus feet. Prabhupada says, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Anybody who is envious, envious of devotee and devotional principles, one should direct his anger against him. How Prabhupada would be furious when Mr. N in Bombay temple, when he was building and the Mr. N died. Prabhupada was like really celebrating. It's a point of celebration. A demon has left, Celebration. Somebody wrote me a mail, yesterday, telling that I am in a society of asuras, working in America, telling that I am in a society of asuras. It's so difficult. This devotee is telling that I wrote something on the board, like a thought for the day, something good, and this devotee is telling, this my good looking and something, appreciating. What was that? Good looking and apparently gentleman, but a perfect atheistic demon. Good looking, apparently gentleman. What is the consciousness? Perfect atheistic demon. So this world is full of many, many good looking, apparently well behaved, very cultured people. But what is the consciousness? Demon. To break the preaching spirit, to break the thread of Krishna consciousness movement. That is the spirit they are having. How stupid it is. So he says, Amara kiniya loho bolo gaurahari, is going begging and preaching, please take to this message. So with great shedding so much blood, somebody brings devotees. And here this propaganda is going to break these devotees, to break the preaching spirit. Yesterday I was reading. Yeah, another thing, I went to one temple in Malaysia and we went to this temple and the deities are being dressed and the deities after dressing, everywhere I think in the West the same condition as we here, only here we find so many devotees to take darshan. In fact, some devotees are always, I don't get place in the front to stand, in Mangalarti sometimes there is a struggle, who will sit and stand in the front. One devotee really got upset. Why I don't get placed in the front always to stand, He is coming to me and telling, I want to stand in the front. People are eager to take darshan of the Lord. And this place, there was nobody to take darshan. Morning time, one devotee is inside dressing all the deities, finally comes out and takes himself darshan. He's the only one standing and taking darshan. And sometimes he's also not there. He dresses and goes away. Then I am the only one standing darshan. And the tape is being played. So with such a background, I went to some places and they are asking, they are wondering. They are asking, what is the need of Brahmachari Ashram? Like that. They are talking this issue, Oh, so many people, the parents get hurt, the children leave, this and that. And these are all parasites, they are enjoying on society, this and that. What is the need, Just parasites staying in the temple, not working hard. So previously I was wondering why they are saying like that. It took me some time to understand, And I said, just look at your temple. I said, it looks like a ghost bungalow. Nobody is staying here. If you have to take darshan of the temple, nobody. If you have to bring from outside somebody to take darshan, you want to preach outside, you want to bring people to, for whom? For the empty building? Nobody is staying in the building? If there is no vibrant atmosphere in the temple, whom you will bring to the temple? You see, yesterday I was reading this purport from 2nd Canto, 6th chapter, I think 20th verse. Maybe you can read later if you want. It talks about what is the whole climax of Varnashram. What is the whole climax of Varnashram? Very nicely. Prabhupada says, this verse throws the aspect, this verse is an aspect on the climax of Varnashram. What is the climax of Varnashram? To encourage renunciation. Prabhupada writes, this material world is only 1/4 of the whole creation. That supreme, unlimited, immeasurable, all-glorious spiritual world, which is free from all material contamination, which is eternal, which is full of all knowledge, which is full of transcendental bliss, like it is written, Prahlad Maharaj is experiencing transcendental bliss, which is not affected by any material contamination. Who can go there? Who can go there? This is only those who have understood the principle of renunciation, who have understood this climax of Varnashram, they can go there. Those who have strictly followed the vows of celibacy, they can go there. So the whole culture is supporting how to cultivate this mood of renunciation. So if one doesn't understand and one is thinking of living in the comforts of the worldly life, it is of no use. And these people are complaining, you know, oh, what is this, why? So then I said, even if you say everybody is a parasite, even if you say that, even if individually a person is of no contribution to the society, but just maintaining a group which represents the principle of renunciation, just maintaining a group which represents the principle of renunciation, even if individually somebody is not so advanced, how beneficial it is to the society. Because the whole climax of Varnashram is encourage renunciation, encourage renounce order. Prabhupada is preaching in the West, he's demanding. And then these fellow are talking, you know, why there should be this ashram. I said, why not? Brother, every one of you should give all their sons to the ashram. It's all empty now, fill it up. So you were talking like that. So anyway, the point is, it is not the external, this ashram, that ashram, but the whole climax has to be understood, that renunciation has to be encouraged. One has to come out of the karma bandhan. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling, Kabe habe bolo, se din amar. He is telling the aspirations. What should be the aspirations? Not to maintain a comfortable life in this world, but what should be the aspiration? Kabe habe bolo, se din amar. When will that day be mine? Shud aparadha guchi, shud name ruchi. Kripa bole hoibe hridaya sanchar. Aspiration is to shuddha name ruchi. When we'll be able to chant the pure holy name. Free from all worldly attachments, all distractions, all absorptions. Sit in the association of such equally aspiring devotees and take shelter of shuddha name ruchi. What needs to be done? Shuddha name ruchi. What is required? Greed is required. Like Prabhupada explains. Anywhere this is available, buy it. Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. Kriyata api kuto bi labhyate. Tatra laulyam. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. This Krishna consciousness, wherever it is available, whatever price has to be paid. Pay it. Tatra laulyam api. Whatever. Have a strong greed for that supreme opulence, which provides a transcendental bliss. So Prahlad Maharaj is being told, because you're transcendental bliss, what is the cause of transcendental bliss? Not a big kingdom, nothing. It says, due to always personally seeing me. Arjuna is telling, you know, Rajyam Chapi Suradipatyam. What is that verse? Something. A kingdom greater than heavenly opulence. That will not satisfy me. I reject. Nobody, no relationship can, no person can satisfy me in this world. No other guru can satisfy me. Only Krishna, you. So therefore it says, because Prahlad Maharaj understood that, due to always personally seeing me, having that relationship with Krishna, which is full of all rasas, Because of your transcendental bliss, due to always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage. He's giving that assurance. I will protect you. Assurance is given. I will, this assurance. You go to, it says, Sutal Alayam, to the place known as Sutal Lok. But there will be no bondage in this material world as long as you are focused, you are convinced of that connection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will give you the experience of transcendental bliss. So therefore, tatra lalyam api mulyam ekalam. That bliss one has to, at which there is no material hankering, one has to hanker for that bliss. And any price needed to be paid, we will pay. Anything. You tell what price. So, and what price? Then this is one of the another verses says, Trinadhikahina kabeni jamani sahishnuta guna hridayateyani. What price you need to pay me? Trinadhikahina is, this is the price. Trinadhikahina, when will I have that humility? Sakala samana korita shakti. When will I be able to respect everyone? Sakala sahana baladiya koro. When will I be able to tolerate and that strength I will get? So then, I can afford this. Sakala manada apani amani hoya aswadibo nama rasasara. Sakala manade apani amani. Give man to everyone and myself respecting, expecting any honor. Dhana jana ar kobita sundari boli bona chahi deho sukh kari janme janme dao ohe gaurahari ahe tuki bhakti charane to mar. Dhana jana ar is rejecting that. When will I able to give up, you know? Dhana jana ar, that is this translation. When will I cry out that I have no longer any desire for wealth and followers, poetry and beautiful women, all of which are meant just for bodily pleasure? O Gaurahari, give me causeless devotional service to your lotus feet. So when one develops that greed, supplemented by humility and tolerance, one becomes desperate for Krishna's mercy. One becomes desperate to see the Lord. Like yesterday, Gauranga was making a nice point in the Brahmachari class on the power of prayers. How no living entity knows what power every living entity has. None of us know. If somebody, Krishna decides to use someone as instrument, he can create wonders, create revolution in this world. So how much need is there? How much need is there to actually create revolution in this world? But what can we do sitting here? What can each individual insignificant soul offer to get people out of karma bandhan? People who are so attached to most silly principles. Most silly principles. Absolutely silly. They're silly ideas. Why I should take up Krishna? Why I should come to temple? Absolute silly reasons they give. Absolutely silly. As this language, this boy's language. Stupid reasons they give. Why I cannot take it seriously. Highly stupid reasons. Such a big, like this Shikshashtakam is telling, you know, Nama Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. All the Shakti is there and no rules are there, but still, how stupid it is. Duradayavam, I am so unfortunate. I cannot understand that. Stupid reasons, stupid complaints, always criticizing others, always complaining about things, not understanding the supreme opulence one has and achieving the supreme satisfaction. That's why, you know, Gita says, I always like to make this point and discuss this point. Gita says the austerity of mind is satisfaction. Satisfaction. Every time conditioned mind is complaining. But not only satisfaction, it goes one step ahead. Like Janani Vaspuru says, once you have got this nectar of holy name, once Guru has delivered that to you, what else you are demanding? What else is required? You have the highest power with you. What else is required? Still so much hankering in the heart, so much dissatisfaction in the heart, so much complaint in the heart, so much grudge in the heart. Why not this? The highest thing is there. Just take the holy name and fly. Stay high forever, as they say. Just take this holy name. Stay high forever. Relish that connection which Lord Chaitanya is offering with each Maha Mantra. It's so beautiful. So therefore, this becomes our supreme aspiration. One becomes maddened when he understands this, that what has been offered to us, and like that. So therefore, this concept, you know, yeah, so I was mentioning this Gaurang Prabhu's point, that how living entity does not know what power has been bestowed upon us, what power has been bestowed. We're just complaining about not having so many things, but we don't know what we have. Like Sanatan Goswami had thrown touchstone in the garbage pile because he had the most precious opulence. He had the most precious opulence. So, this, as soon as one gets that connection with Krishna, one's only aspiration should be how I can share with others. That's the only aspiration. How to get so many people out of karma bandhan and get them out and give them darshan of Shri Radha Gopina. That should be the only aspiration. Now, all of us may not be equipped how to do it, but power of prayers. Like Gopinath Prabhu, I was noticing recently in some of his classes, he was mentioning such a nice point. I think Sunday feast he gave, right? Sunday feast or Bhagavatam? Sunday feast. Sunday feast class he was mentioning. Where the point of compassion. But how much it is important to go and share with others, but we do not know how to affect others. We do not know what we can do. We feel so insignificant. We feel so tiresome fighting with material energy. Our whole energy gets drained out fighting with our own anarthas. And we feel, what can we do? Yes, one thing can be done very easily. That can be power of prayers. We can pray to Krishna. Like yesterday I was mentioning, we have to pray cumulative prayers. Strengthen the cumulative prayer. So one thing definitely one can very willingly and voluntarily come forward and pray to Krishna to favor the cause of movement and to use us somewhere as the instrument. Somewhere I can be used as an instrument, I'll be very grateful. It will be for my benefit. Like Prabhupada writes a beautiful line, letter of instruction. He said, one should go out and collect donations for the donor's benefit. Go out, collect donations for the donor's benefit. We went with Prabhuji to one office and he was preaching there. So he went to some senior officer and I was wondering, such a senior officer, we are entering, you know, into his office. And it was for some of my official work. And I was surprised how he's convincing him. He's telling him, first he tells him the whole 14 planetary systems. then he gives him a whole biodata, or I don't know, biodata or what happens in all the 7 lower planetary systems. And he says about hellish planets specifically, sorry. About the hellish planets, he gives him a whole experience, what happens in hellish planets. And then he gives him more detailed knowledge that how one suffers in hellish planets if one does not perform devotional service. Then he explains that how by our very existence in material world, we are committing so many sins. And after convincing you about hellish planets, after convincing him about everything, after convincing you how material world is dangerous, and after convincing you how we have to get out, then he says, so, you know how we can get out? Just serve sadhus like him. And he says, then we can get out. So this person willingly says, yes, yes, yes. And he immediately signs the document and goes. So, the point is, so these people are suffering, you know. Like I was writing on some mail to someone. I said, just look at all the unfortunate, dull looking heads without tilak and kanti mala. Don't you feel pity on them? Just remember the first day we put tilak on our head, isn't it? Many devotees experience when they put tilak on the head, they feel, oh my God, it looks so beautiful. Why I didn't do previously in my life? Because tilak makes your face, it's a Vaishnav dress. So just look at all those unfortunate, just look at somebody's head outside, you know. It looks so dull and unfortunate because tilak and kanti mala is not there. It looks like a dead body walking around, a ghost, you know. Why? Because Vaishnav culture is not there. So this point, you know. So this understanding has to be. We have to share this message. So he was telling power of prayers. You pray to Krishna that somehow help us to share this message with each and every soul. And we don't know how to do that because people have all kind of reasons. Oh, you don't serve meat in your house. That's why we don't come. We are attached to meat. Or this and that. Or your temple is so crowded. Or this issue or that issue. What nonsense you are reading. We are offering you the highest opulence. Highest opulence. So this point is there that so one has to perform this this, understand this power of prayers. So this, so when I was there with some devotees, so I was telling them, they were telling, oh, there's no preaching going on. So difficult to preach there. I said, let's do yagya. Japa yagya. Krishna says, of all yagyas, I am, you know, japa yagya. So let's do one yagya. So we called all the boys, let's do japa yagya. We sat down. So these boys are like new devotees. So one of these boys came really, after taking bath and dressed up in the pujari's dress, ready to perform yagya. And he came and sat down. He said, where is the fire? There is no fire in the middle. Searching for fire. He said, this is not fire. This is not some ordinary yagya, japa yagya. Understand the power of this cumulative sound vibration. Even if you can't do anything, just sit here in the association of devotees and chant the holy name. This is japa yagya, very powerful. Even if you can't do anything, like Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam, you know, even if you cannot do anything, just sit and absorb in transcendental sound vibration. You are curtailing all the negative vibrations of the outside world. Just sit and participate in the transcendental sound vibration. That yagya is so powerful that you are curtailing all the negative vibrations. And not only we are benefiting, the whole universe is benefiting. The whole cosmos is benefiting. Amazing. Insignificant personality is sitting here having such a vibrant effect. Like Anandita Prabhu sits every Sunday for 2-3 hours and performs yagya, Harinam yagya. So therefore, it says, the Kanishta Adhikari is therefore advised to visit the temple every day and see the form of the Lord regularly. So this culture of coming together, of taking shelter of transcendental sound, of putting people together and taking darshan of the Lord has to be encouraged. And we can just humbly pray to the Lord that how one can be a humble instrument performing this service with all our insignificance. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. I'm sorry if I offended someone. It was a very spontaneous class. So if anybody felt offended, I really beg forgiveness for that. Hare Krishna.